Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt this morning. I look so forward to this segment with Anna DeVlantes, This Week in Chicago History. How are you, Anna?
Hey, Wendy, good morning. You know, nothing like Jackson 5. If you think back, way back into the day, you still play their music now, and it's hard not to be dancing around the room, right? It's like you think about, this Gary, Natives. It's interesting, though. I went back and looked. Wendy, in Chicago played such a huge role in their early rise to fame because they were playing in Gary, they were playing in Detroit, and then they broke out to Chicago. And I looked this up, Wendy. One day, Don Cornelius invited the Jackson 5, still kind of a young group, getting some attention. He invited them to come and appear on Soul Train. This Week in Chicago History, 1972, Cornelius was, of course, featuring black artists and often introducing them to the mainstream, but he looked at the Jackson 5 as huge stars, and they were big hits from the moment they were on Soul Train. We pulled in a clip here. It's a great clip. Don Cornelius did this interview with a young man from Gary, Indiana, named Michael Jackson.
I read a lot, and
what kind of books do you read?
Like science fiction, or just some of the bestsellers, like A Night to Remember, The Sinking of the Titanic, and I feed my birds every morning.
You have a bird collection?
Yeah. All kind of different.
Do you buy
birds.
Them or do you catch them?
No, I buy them.
You buy them, huh?
Yeah.
What are some of the birds you have?
Oh, a peacock, pheasants, parrots, Nicobar pigeons.
Do they ever peck you?
No, not really. They know me.
Oh, nice questions, Don Cornelius on Soul Train. I used to watch that a lot.
Totally love that show, and it's just so interesting to go back and see young Michael Jackson and being nervous and answering those questions.
Yeah.
But when he performed, it was like electric, even back then, Wendy. It's so cool just to go back and see those kinds of things and listen to them, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. What else you have for us?
Okay, so Ty Warner, this is a great one. Back in 1980, this is the week that I think you could say was pretty critical to the launch of Beanie Babies. 1980, Wendy, Ty Warner got fired from his job selling stuffed animals for toy retailer Daikin. He was based here in Chicago, had worked there for 10 years, not a short timer. His dad had worked for the same company. The reason Ty Warner got fired, he was selling his own stuffed animals on the side.
Whoops.
And that was kind of frowned upon, I guess, at the Daikin company. So he was gone in a second. But, that kind of bold move is what ultimately you could say launched his, multi-billion dollar empire. I don't know. Have you seen the HBO doc, the Beanie Baby, the HBO doc that's out? It's kind of chronic. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I plan on watching that. Zach Galifianakis plays him, right?
Love him. Absolutely, yeah. Love him. Well, the doc actually points out how this group of Naperville housewives was central to the early, buzz and the initial stir around Beanie Babies, because they started these clubs, they trade the Beanie Babies, they talk about them, and then they'd eventually go on the road and, start clubs elsewhere. This whole idea that, they were in such hot demand,
right.
And, the scarcity around certain Beanie Babies and all this stuff. But one of those suburban women actually was a freelancer at People Magazine, so she wrote an article, and I don't know, it just kind of all, it all clicked. I don't know, were you one of those families that kept them in the plastic or the packaging?
No, we play with toys in our family.
One of my best friends, her mom would put them on the shelf and we'd stare at them and think, oh God, wouldn't it be great to play with those toys? But we couldn't, because she was saving them because they were going to be worth a fortune one day.
And they weren't. They never really...
And they weren't!
Yeah. All right, I think we have time for one more.
All right, one more here. Cup. You remember Irv Kupcinet?
Of
the legendary Sun-Times. Yeah. Gossip columnist, every star who was anybody or anybody of any note would stop by and meet with Irv Kupcinet when they were in town. Back in the day, Wendy, there were no New York City to L.A., coast-to-coast flights, so these stars would stop in Chicago. Elizabeth Taylor, Bob Hope, Lucille Ball, Sammy Davis Jr., Frank Sinatra, the list goes on and on and on. And they would stop here and they would meet with Kup. We have a great clip here, Irv Kupcinet, from his early TV show, which launched this week. It went national. Very smart show. He was an incredible interviewer. Interview here with Hugh Hefner.
How do you do? I'm Irv Kupcinet, moderator of Kup's Show, dedicated to the lively art of conversation. Ours is a freewheeling, informal type of discussion show in which we invite some of the most interesting people in the world to participate. They represent all walks of life, and they engage freely in the fine old art of conversation and the give and take of controversial conversation. We put together a few samples of our shows, of our recent shows, I should say, so that you can get some idea of the breadth and the scope of our guests and the range of topics that develop in the course of their conversation. In one of our recent segments, we invited a group of authors to sit in, and Hugh Hefner, the publisher of Playboy magazine, joined them.
Somebody quoted you as saying that you would really like to get married and find the right girl and get married.
Well, the quote was in Time magazine. It said that it was a Saturday Evening Post concept. It said, but what I actually said, which was accurately quoted, was that I would be more interested in the next 10 years in meeting a girl and falling in love and having her fall in love with me than making another $100 million. Now, that quote's correct. It didn't mention marriage, per se.
Interesting where he went, though, you know, kind of like not through the standard kind of celebrity interviews. He was just so good. And, you know, as we know, he used to entertain all the celebrities in booth one at the Ambassador East Hotel. Such a legendary guy, cop. And just cool to go back and listen to some of those old clips.
Absolutely. All right. Our last one. What happened this week in Chicago?
I'll blow through this quickly, Wendy, but you and I don't think we're alive at this time. But the Picasso sculpture was unveiled to the public after much anticipation. Mayor Daley was so proud of it. He pulled the cord. He had the orchestra playing. All the reporters were there. People from all across the country had arrived to see. We have a world-famous artist, Picasso, who actually did a sculpture just for Chicago. And when they pulled the cord, people were kind of shocked by it, right? They weren't really into this Picasso thing. They're like, what is that? Is that a baboon, a flying nun?
Yeah.
People thought it was a cow sticking out his tongue. I don't know if we have time for the audio, but even 50 years later, the people in Chicago are still kind of confused by it, apparently, about what it actually was.
Well, I think we've grown to love it, that's for sure.
It's so true. Over time, it's like that's part of Chicago. It's even on all of our souvenir, you know, you go to like get souvenir shot glasses and mugs and things like that. It's there. It's part of our landscape. But at the time, certainly it seemed a little bit shocking, to say the least.
Absolutely. Cool. Thank you so much. Great to talk to you as always, Anna.
You too, Wendy. Have a good one.
You as well. Anna DeVlantis, This Week in Chicago History.